My name is Jasmine Babers. I'm the founder of Love Girls Magazine.
And I am Michaela Hughshaw, and I'm the vice president of the board for Love Girls Magazine.
This is Love Girls, the podcast, and thank you for listening.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about hair, because our hair is also a part of us, too. And today we are going to talk about the history of hair and different trends and styles and protective styles that can be used to, well, it's in the name, protect your hair.
Yeah, exactly. And we have Shanitha Shipp here. She's a hair expert. She's going to give us all the scientific bits and bobs about hair, curly hair, all of that.
We learned so much.
Yeah, and Nini's also a good friend of ours, and we love her. She's one of our mentors, so we were excited to talk to her.
Yes, yeah. Longtime mentor of the Memphis branch of the magazine. Jasmine, what would you say has been a defining moment for you in your hair journey?
That's a good question. Also a hard question, because I feel like people go through seasons with their hair, right? And I was a freshman in college, and actually my sister had just gone natural, and my mom was also going natural as well. And you had been natural for about a year, and I had been really struggling with how thin my hair was. I was putting it in my own relaxers, and I just saw my hair length get shorter and shorter and shorter. And I kind of looked at my family, I looked at my friends, and I was like, I feel like I could do this. So I know our hair transitions to natural were different, because you cut it all off, and I wasn't that brave. I had to cut inch by inch and just kind of like wear those transitional styles. But yeah, it was definitely my freshman year of college when I was like, okay, I'm going to go natural. I'm going to take this step, jump on in.
I remember when you were debating going natural too, I said, Jasmine, just do it. Just do it. Yes, my junior year of high school, I said, you know what? No more relaxers. My hair was also getting really thin, really damaged, and I chopped it all off. So I had probably about 2 to 3 inches of hair on my head.
It looked so good, though.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it was so healthy.
I didn't think it looked that great at first.
Really? You didn't like it?
It was just a really big transition getting used to having super short hair.
Yeah. And we talk about that with Nini, about that anxiety about cutting your hair off, because it's hard.
It is very hard. It's a big leap, but it was one that was well worth it. And I'm really excited to have this conversation today.
Same. Let's get into it. So today we have with us Shanitha Shipp, who is an LGM mentor and a Memphis editor, and she's also a licensed cosmetology instructor and beauty journalist. She also is a former writer of Grace Magazine in Memphis. Hi, Shanitha.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. How are you?
Awesome. Doing wonderful. Thank you.
Well, it's so good to hear from you.
So not only are you a mentor of the magazine, but for me, you are a close family friend. You are my mom's best friend. And so earlier when I was doing your introduction, your name is Shanitha Shipp, but I call you Nini. And
Jasmine said, I don't know if they'll know who they are.
I was like, I don't think they'll know who Nini is. But
but we know who Nini is.
Exactly.
We do. Well, good. I'm glad that you're doing well today. So let's hop right into this. So you do hair, right?
Yes.
You still do hair. Why is it important for young women, specifically Black women, to take care of their hair?
Okay, so I kind of look at this hair thing threefold when it comes to importance where women are concerned. And I would say, first of all, from a visual standpoint, visually, hair is important because it's perhaps the first thing that people see when they see us, okay? It's the first thing. Some, I know for me, it's the first thing I notice on anybody, male, female, young, old, babies. It's the first thing I notice when I look at people is their hair, okay? And I would say, you know, historically, I think women have viewed their hair as their crown, so to speak. I know you often heard the phrase or the term, if you were surrounded by, you know, anything hair, that it was called your, you know, your crown and glory. Okay. So I think historically it just kind of goes back as, well, this is it's on the top of my head, you know, so it's crowning my entire body. So it's the first thing people see, you know, when they see you. And then I think mentally hair is just important because, it comes with the notion that if you look better, then you feel better. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some people, I think in women, you know, women of all races look at it as, you know, well, you know, if I maybe get my hair done, then maybe I'll feel better. You know, and that kind of goes along with the whole notion of it's not just your hair, it's also your scalp. You know, so if your scalp is healthy and clean and looks better, then you'll feel better. And if your hair is healthy and clean, then you'll look better and then perhaps you'll feel better.
Right, right. No, that makes perfect sense.
It definitely does.
Definitely.
And I grew up around you who takes care of hair, and my mom also took care of my hair and my sister's hair. And she always tells the story about how when I came to live with my family, my hair was really, really damaged because I'm adopted. And she talked about how she had to nurture my hair back to health. And I think that women who have textured hair, curly hair, kinky hair, we don't really know how to take care of our hair. And so we try a lot of products, oils and conditioners, different treatments. What are your tips, kind of like the basic necessities for curly hair, kinky hair, textured hair?
Okay. Well, that's sort of twofold. First, what I would like to say is that, you know, our personal stories, you know, just like the one that you just gave about, you know, your hair being damaged as a young girl. You know, going back to the personal story for me, like my grandmother, I always remember my grandmother had this long, silvery salt and pepper hair. And, you know, the one thing I remember her always saying is that she never understood why anyone would ever want to cut it. So, you know, I believe to her, her hair represented, or hair in general, just represented for her grace, beauty, wisdom, and again, she saw it as her crown and glory. But, you know, on that other tip about some tips for keeping it healthy, her hair was also natural. Whenever I saw her, though, it was always straight because she had it, you know, pressed, which we used to call press and curl, where the hair is basically structurally altered by heat. Okay. But at any rate, you have to cut it to keep it healthy. And I think a lot of people, you know, everybody has heard of, oh, I need to get my ends trimmed, you know, because they get frayed and they split. And they get tattered and tangled on the ends. That's why we have to keep that hair trimmed. And I think particularly the black women, that's really important because just like my grandmother, she didn't understand why anybody would want to cut it, you know, because taking away some of your hair. Mm-hmm. But in actuality, we have to take away what's bad on the ends to keep it healthy from root to end. Right. So that would be my big thing, is to make sure you're getting your ends trimmed on a regular basis. And I would say a regular basis would be more like, you know, at least every month, every 4 to 6 weeks, I would recommend everybody get their ends trimmed.
Oh my goodness. We both just gasped.
I feel like we have so much anxiety around cutting our hair.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
From my experience, I have both of my grandmothers. For one, I'm biracial, so I have a white grandmother and a black grandmother. They're both hairstylists. And isn't that cool? So I grew up seeing two completely different textures, two completely different ways of doing hair and caring for two different kinds of hair. And it was funny because my mom had no idea how to care for my hair. My mom is white, and we went through some struggles. She always tells me the story of she thought it would be a good idea to curl my hair when I was, I don't know, 2 or 3. And we have to use different products in our hair in order to protect it from the heat. Mm-hmm. She didn't know that, though. And so we burned off a couple baby curls. And so it's just trial and error, definitely. But you're so right. When Jasmine was just talking about the anxiety of cutting your hair, I remember when I was younger feeling like if my hair wasn't long, then I wasn't beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so every time I had to go in for a trim, I'd be like, Grandma, are you sure? Do we have to cut this off?
Do we have to?
But now that you just said it's 4 to 6 weeks, I've been doing this all wrong. I definitely go every, I would say 4 months, probably. So I need to update my hair regimen a little bit.
Absolutely. You know, if you just do it a little more often, then what happens is you don't give those split ends an opportunity to split further down the hair shaft and damage more of your hair.
Right.
And, you know, to give people a visual idea of what that looks like, I think all of us have seen girls at some point in our lives whose hair looks like it might be long at first sight, but then when you look at it again, and maybe when the humidity or something hits it a little bit, it's no longer long hair. It turns into big hair, you know? Right. And so that's all of those split ends actually fraying or frizzing. And if it was more healthy hair that had the ends trimmed more often, what you get is more of long hair instead of just big hair.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
so it's
tip.
Very interesting, but that is of vital importance. And, you know, Jasmine spoke about the anxiety of it. I mean, over the years, I've had girls and young women, you know, in my salon chair. And just the mention of, you know, cutting their ends sparks, you know, I've had tears, you know, I've had, you know, it was the same thing that, you know, Michaela, you just said about thinking if my hair wasn't long, then I wasn't beautiful. Mm-hmm. So a lot of anxiety comes from hair length and just the thought of getting even an inch of it cut off, you know, was, like you said, a big anxiety issue for a lot of young women and a lot of girls.
Yeah. Just thinking about it right now, I'm like shaking.
I know.
Because I know I'm due for a trim. I just know it.
Well, obviously I am when I just told you the time that it's been. Well, do you think that is something that's taught to young Black women and just young women of color in general when you think about the length of your hair? Because for so many years we were taught that our hair wasn't good enough.
And, you know, what I think of also, now that you mentioned this, is I think women and girls have been sort of I hate to use the word brainwashed, but in a sense, when you look at over the years, the advertising on television, what we see in the magazines, there's so many photos or pictures or images, if you will, of women with long, straight hair, you know, then, you know, being a young African-American girl whose hair was naturally not that way. Okay, unless it was altered, it was not going to be long and straight and hanging past your shoulders. Okay, unless it was pressed, as I said before, you know, with a hot comb to get it straight, it basically meaning that it was altered with heat. You know, if it wasn't altered some type of way chemically or with heat, then it wasn't going to be long and straight and hanging past your shoulders. It just wasn't going to do that because as African-American women, our hair grows different out of our cuticles. And we have a flat cuticle as opposed to a round cuticle, okay? And that's how the hair grows. It, like, squeezes. A strand of hair, like, squeezes its way through this flat cuticle, which makes it come out curly. But I'm happy to say that now I think those stereotypes and I think those brainwashings and those images have changed.
Right.
And that's a great thing because it's called young girls and women to embrace how their hair grows from their cuticles and from their hair follicles naturally.
100%.
You know, and I said cuticle before. I was thinking of the word follicle and it came out cuticle, but you get my drift.
No, we understood.
You know? Yeah.
We had a science lesson.
Totally. I mean, you know, again, that's the science of hair.
Right.
You know, that's the chemistry of it and the science of it. And now there's really this wonderful acceptance of our hair and the way that it is and the way that it grows naturally. And young girls as well as older women have embraced that. And and it's wonderful because it's like a movement.
Yeah. Yes.
Is.
It's like you need to see other people on magazines and on TV who have the same hair texture as you. I mean, it's about representation and seeing more people who have my kind of texture, Michaela's kind of texture, I think helped us decide to go natural. And
you know, yeah. And I mean, just an example of that, I was in Macy's the other day, and I just happened to look. I was with my son in an area where Ralph Lauren Polo is sold in Macy's and the men's department. Mm-hmm. And there was this, you know, this huge, you know, wall size photo of this, you know, this chocolate African-American man and woman, you know, all decked out in their Ralph Lauren Polo attire for the fall. And, you know, they were both, you know, very, very dark skin, rich, beautiful dark skin. And their hair was both very natural, like, in, you know, afros, not big afros, but, you know, small natural afros. And it was so different to see. It was just different and refreshing to see. So that acceptance is definitely there.
I love it. And yeah, it's about representation and seeing your hair. And now I feel like there are so many ways to wear your hair. I mean, people are doing lace fronts. I'm into box braids right now. You can wear your hair natural. You can press it. And then you can also play around with color. I know a lot of my friends, a lot of my line sisters are really into lace front wigs right now and switching it up. So can you talk about some of the trends that are popular right now amongst hair and kind of like the pros and cons of some of these popular trends?
Well, certainly. I mean, first of all, it's just like you said, almost anything goes now. You know, with hairstyling, you know, there is no, oh, everybody's bringing their hair straight or everybody's rocking braids or everybody. No, everybody's doing everything. Okay. So as far as some of the trends now, right now, you know, summer is still here. We're in summer right now and people are definitely rocking the braids. Mm-hmm. Definitely. You know, long ones, short ones, protective styles. I'm sure both of you have heard that before. And that is definitely something that people love to do for the summer because it gives them an opportunity to, first of all, kind of create a new you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of gives you an opportunity to create a new you. You know, you have things like crochet styles,
right.
Which is where the hair is generally cornrowed or French braided to the head. And then you have different types of coily hair, wavy hair that are crocheted, so to speak, into with a crochet needle, an instrument that we use to actually pull it through the hair that's been French braided flat to our head and then loop it. And then, again, that's great because that is, you know, basically protecting your hair from the elements. And it's a way for you to wear like a weave style without actually having to have any thread or any glue or anything that's, that might compromise the health of your hair.
Mm.
So that's great. And, you know, it's summertime. People like to take vacations to the beach.
Right.
You know, women want to go walk in the summertime and work out. They don't have to worry about sweating their, you know, their natural hairstyle out and having to do it all over again and put more heat in it.
True.
So that's just giving you an example of how those types of protective styles are protecting the hair.
100%. You're definitely speaking my language right now.
Absolutely.
And as far as the lace front that you talked about, for those that don't know, lace front wigs, of course, are extremely, hugely popular right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, reason being is that lace that's around the edges of the hair, which gives it the name a lace front, and that lace is basically like a sheer lace base that's around the edges of the wig, and it allows the manufacturer to be able to give that illusion of a seamless hairline, okay, for
right.
a more natural-looking hairstyle, okay? And I think the thing of the lace fronts, they look really, really good, look really natural, and you've probably heard the phrase, not your mom, not your grandmother's wig or not your mama's wig.
Right.
Actually, yes, all over place.
I mean, you have celebrities as well as, you know, your everyday girl that just absolutely loves it because it gives her such a natural look.
Right.
You know, that's why they say it's not your mother's wig. You know, the wigs before, you could just kind of tell, well, that's a wig that she has on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now looking around the edges, these look so natural with that lace around it that you can't tell.
You can't tell.
Okay? But the things you want to be aware of with those and be careful of is the glue that's often used to install them or the adhesive.
Mm-hmm.
Some can be installed with, like, double-sided tape, and some can be installed with glue. And what you want to be careful of is just, like, the solvent that is used in some of those glues can be harsh and can be damaging. And as you know, ladies, that hair around our edges is, like,
sensitive.
Most of our, if we have any baby hair left, that's where you're going to find it.
Right. Right.
So you want to be careful with that hair because it's delicate around the edges.
Definitely.
Okay? Yeah. So you don't want to neglect your hair. You know, these protective styles that we're talking about and, you know, wearing the lace front, it's great and it's wonderful, but you do want to make sure that you don't neglect your own hair as a result. So you still want to be constantly, you know, taking those lace fronts off after maybe 4 to 6 weeks.
Yep.
And making sure that you're shampooing your hair, taking good care of that scalp. Always use a conditioner. Every time you shampoo, you want to use a conditioner. And, you know, I don't know how deep we're going to have time to get into product knowledge, but, you know, beware of shampoos that say that they're conditioning and shampooing your hair at the same time. I kind of don't believe in those.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just two in ones.
Exactly. I kind of believe that, you know, products were made to do, you know, one basic thing in general, you know, so just be careful of those. I like to use a separate shampoo and conditioner because I feel like they were made to do two different things.
Yep.
You know, but shampoo, condition, deep condition when it's necessary, and then trim.
And then trim.
Yes.
Yeah, taking care of that hair under your protective styles is always important. Nini,
yeah.
You have been so knowledgeable, and you've helped us talk about hair. You've given us tips, and we appreciate you so much. We have one last question. And as you know, Love Girls Magazine, the Love in Love Girls stands for Lead, Overcome, Value, and Empower. And
yes.
We want to know what love stands for you.
Oh, wow. Love is that all-encompassing word, feeling, vibe.
Mm-hmm.
It really entails so much. And I kind of think of that song right now, What the World Needs Now is Love. That comes to mind when I think about the love in Love Girls Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole concept behind it, you know, the lead, overcome, value, and empower, which I think in itself is just so powerful. Those words say so much and they mean so much. But yeah, love for me, again, is that all-encompassing thing. And I just feel like if you love yourself, you know, you love God, you love yourself, you can't help but project that love onto other people. And I think when people see sort of that love light in you, what's the word I want to use? It's catchy, you know, sort of like a fever. People catch that fever of love, and I think it just promotes goodwill among others.
Yeah, fever of love. I like that a lot.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
Beautiful. That is
exactly.
So beautiful. Well, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate you coming on and talking with us today.
Wonderful. Not a problem. Not a problem. This has been a love of mine for most of my life. So anytime I can lend a hand or an ear to talk about hair or even talk about ways of keeping hair healthy, I'm here for you.
Thank you, Nini. You're the best.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Love you, too. Oh, you know what, Michaela? I would still love to hear one thing from you about Curl Fest before we sign off.
We'll probably, we'll have to talk about it in another episode.
our time's up.
Yeah, we're kind of behind on time, but I will tell you real quick, Curl Fest was super fun. It was
wonderful.
It was super fun.
And it's an annual thing.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's in New York. And they're having one in Atlanta, too. So that's
oh, wow.
Cool.
Oh, they're branching cool. out.
They
get,
are in
might
September.
Might have to catch that one. Oh, might have to catch that one.
Oh, yeah. That's close to you, Nene.
Yeah, that's oh, pretty yeah. close. Might have to catch that one.
You
well,
should.
Maybe we'll do it. We'll do a whole complete podcast on Curl Fest.
Right. Just all the
Season
things.
Three.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nene.
All right, ladies. Have a great day.
Yes,
bye.
You too.